There's a reason we're doing this weekend, and it's not just about Ricky and I being able to share the pulpit with our dads. Selfishly, that's what this is. For he and I, that's what this is. But for this church, there's something very specific designed for this weekend. And this local congregation here at Campbell Road, we are made up of a multitude of generations. And those generations have special responsibilities of serving God, of being faithful to God exactly where we are. That Acts 13:36, that David served the purpose of God within his own generation applies to us. That whether we're young or old, whatever season of life, there's responsibilities there about serving God the best that we can and serving God together with those of other generations. And so the lessons designed of this weekend are to encourage us to serve God no matter where it is we are in our season of life, but then to serve God together with those who are of different generations. And I thought about that. How would you go about defining where you are tonight and what generation? Because we talk about young and old. And I thought, well, maybe if I put this on the screen and ask if you knew, not what that was, if you knew how to operate that, if you knew how to make a phone call on that, or if you remember the days when you were going to save something on your computer and you had to pull out one of those bad boys and blow on it a couple times and put it in, or you're going to go jogging and you got the fresh tunes, and so you've got it rewound, and you're ready. Do you remember those days? Because the thing, there's a lot of people here who have no idea what that is, but they know this really well, and they can make a call, and they can store everything they need forever on it, and they can listen to their tunes. It's amazing how things have changed in such a short amount of time. And if none of that makes sense, maybe just if you identify with one side of the screen here or another as to how you watched your shows, that might define where it is that you are. There's a statement we're looking at, one statement tonight that Paul gives in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and what Paul makes clear is that there are challenges that exist from one generation to another. There's a thinking that exists. There's a judgment that is made. There are assumptions, attitudes that are present from one generation to another. The reality is that there are at times unfair assessments made from one to another based purely on age. Could be because a person is young, or could be because a person is old. And we find here our verse, it's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Here's what Paul says. He says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." And we don't know, we don't have the caption here how old Timothy was at this time. Although most people assume that he was probably somewhere between 30 or 40 years old, and that's a great starting place. Did you notice who Paul is writing to here? He's not writing to the older Christian saying, "Hey, stop looking down on young Timothy and treat him like a serious brother in Christ." He's not writing to the older members here. He's writing to Timothy. He's addressing this statement to Timothy. He's addressing it to young Christians then and today. And so everything, the majority of what it is I'm going to be saying for this hour, if you are a teenager, a young person, all the way through your 40s, I've got something to say to us tonight. It's for us. What Paul is saying in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 is not to older Christians, it is to younger Christians. And the message is this: there is a way we can live our life that will keep the older members from taking us seriously. Respect and trust is earned. If we want to be taken seriously, then we must live seriously. And the way he says it here in this context is quite simply this phrase: show yourself an example. He's talking to the preacher Timothy. If you want someone to listen to your teaching with such seriousness that they believe it and follow it, then you need to live a life that out of the lips of that person shows the seriousness of the doctrine you are teaching. Live it. Live it as you are teaching it. And that applies to every one of us here. And the beautiful thing is he shows us what that looks like. He paints a picture of what it means to show yourself as a serious, mature person to be taken seriously, to be taken with respect. And so he says you need to show yourself an example in your speech. Question: what do those of an older generation hear from my lips What do they read from my posts, from my tweets, from my messages, from my texts? What do they hear coming out of me? What does mature, serious speech look like? A lot of the passages we could put up, but look at Colossians 4 and notice the thoughtfulness in Paul's statement here. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You notice the thoughtfulness? You think before you speak, and you think about the kind of words you're going to say. Gracious, not mean, not cruel, not vindictive, gracious words. You think about the tone of your words. You're not slinging it with bitterness, but you're seasoning it with salt, making sure it's received kindly, gently. You're thinking about the audience. Oh, I'm just going to put it out there for the world to see, no matter who sees it. No, you're thinking about each and every person because you care about what each and every person hears. You show yourself as a serious, mature disciple of Christ by the way you speak. He says you need to watch your conduct, the way that you live, the way you behave. Ask the question, how do those who are older in Christ see me live? What do they see out of my actions, out of my behavior? Here, Sunday morning in my worship, Sunday morning in the Bible class, but Monday morning at the store, Tuesday afternoon, out at the ballpark. Thursday afternoon, hanging out in leisure. Are there any gaps in my life where Sunday I profess to be serious about Jesus, but then Monday through Saturday I'm a completely different person? Peter says, you can shut up all those who claim that you are nothing but a hypocritical mess by saying that your good behavior in Christ can answer to slander and put them to shame. But you notice that phrase, your good behavior. Good behavior. How are you living? Are you honest? Are you kind? Are you serving? Are you a good servant of Jesus? How's your behavior? He says, what about your love? What did the older Christians, what did those older disciples of yours receive from you? Because John says love is a lot more than just words. It's a lot more than saying, I love you, brother. Love you, sister. Love defined by Jesus, shown by the cross, is something that's given. It's something that's displayed. It's something that is offered. And I wonder if maybe the question we ought to ask from Jesus' statement, I realize there's a context. I realize that. The context, he says, is love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But the question, he says, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Can you see the question? If I only really reach out to those of my age group, if I really only show concern for those of my life-like experience, if I'm only really interested in those who are right where I am in my season of life, am I really a loving person? Because what about those who are older than me? What about those who are at a different season, the retiree age, the older age, the senior age, or vice versa? What about those who are at a different season of life? Am I just as concerned, just as compassionate, just as serving of those who may be somewhere else than I am? How's my love? How are the older Christians seeing love through my life? He says, what about your faith? Your faith. And it's not that I say I believe in Jesus. I show not that I believe in God, but I believe God and they see it. I don't have to say it. They see it through the way I live. They see it. They hear the word of God on my lips. They see me deep in prayer. They see me here at worship. They see God fusing through my veins to the point to where, when you look at Hebrews 11, you don't have to beg this person to show up to worship. You don't have to take attendance and say, I wonder if they're going to be here for Bible class. You don't have to go pleading and begging and pulling from them to serve, to show up at group meetings, because this person is fervent and they're seeking of their pursuit of God. What is that? Faith alive. Faith demonstrated through the life of these young disciples. And then, of course, he says there's purity. And purity is simply a heart alive, free from the stain and the filth of the world. You're looking at your life, and Paul says, those who have a pure heart flee from sin. They don't entertain worldly friends. They don't endorse worldly behavior. They're not filling their life with worldly entertainment. They're fleeing sin. Well, then what are they doing? Well, they're pursuing righteousness and faith and love and peace. Their life is on the path, on the pursuit of God. And nothing about them, not the way that they talk, not the way that they act, not the way that they think, not the way that they speak, there's not a hint of any gross immorality or sin in their life. They are pure inside and out. Can you see the point of what he is saying here? from your speech and your behavior and the way you treat one another to your belief in God to your heart is I want all of you, all of who you are and what you do to show the older members that you are serious about your love for Christ. And I think for you and I, that ought to leap off the page. Again, if you're right where I am, if you're a young person, all the way up to your 40s, where Timothy was when he read these words, this is what Paul is saying. Number one, take your faith seriously. Take your faith seriously. Which means at first that youth is not an excuse for immaturity. It's just simply not. You think, well, one day I'm going to be an elder. One day I'll be a Bible class teacher. One day I'm going to crack that open. One day I'm going to take some time and I'm really going to crack into this and figure this all out. And one day becomes no day. We waste our life. Sometimes we think the bar sits so low because we're young. Because there are men and there are women who are serving in their mature stages of life. And we waste the season of our youth where we have so much energy and so much vigor and so much opportunity and so many mentors and teachers surrounding us. We waste the season of our life because we say, I'm just not there yet. Youth is no excuse for immaturity because God never said so. God didn't say to David, you know what? I know he's a tough giant. Why don't you sit down? I'm going to pick someone older than you. God didn't say to Joseph, you know what? I get that you are a young man and you're far from home in Egypt. Why don't you just go ahead and live like the world? When you get older, I'll expect you to live a little bit better. He didn't say to Daniel, I know you're far from home. It's all right, buddy. When you get older, I'll teach you how to. Right here, right now, in this season, I can be serious about God, knowing God. It means it's not just that I have a copy of the Bible, that I own the Bible. The Bible owns me. I know these words. I love these words. I'm in these words. I'm getting in these words to live them. It's not that I know about prayer. I am known as a person of prayer. So that when the church reaches out and says, we have a need and I need someone to reach out to pray, I'm going to this person, a young person, because I know that they pray and they pray seriously. I don't have to go begging and pleading for them to volunteer and to serve because they are active. They are some of the first to write their name on the list. They're the first to volunteer, not for credit, not for braggadocious, but because they love the Lord here and now. Youth is no excuse for immaturity, but maybe a word for those who are a little older is that youth is not a barrier for use. Youthfulness is not a barrier to usefulness. And I know that using someone young comes with a lot of baggage because we have a lot to learn and a lot to grow. There's a lot of process of us figuring all this out, and we're going to make mistakes along the way. But those of you who are older, the best thing you can do is give us the opportunity to learn and to try to put us to action and to put us to use. And so take your faith seriously. But the other side of this is to take your example seriously. Did you notice the New American Standard says, show yourself an example, which means the older generation here among the family of God, they're listening to the words that we're saying. And they're watching the way that we're living. They're observing our faith. They're witnessing our family. They're participating with our worship. They are taking it in just as you and I are. And so to say this, and some of us have said this, well, I just can't help how they see me. I can't help that. That's not what God said. Because God said we must. I cannot control how another person sees me, but I can control what they see out of me. They may never take me seriously, but it's not going to be because I haven't shown them the right behavior. Because I haven't lived up to the right expectation. And so to say, I'm going to do whatever it is I can do. I'm just going to live however I'm going to live. I can't help how they see me. Paul says, you are expected. The expectation is high. The calling is great that you live, even in your youth, as one who is serious. Serious about the calling of God, about the expectation of being a disciple of Jesus. And you live it and you live it now. You be serious about your example. But did you notice also in this verse, though, the reason for this is not, I want you to live this way so that you will gain respect, so that you will gain honor, so that you will gain favor from the older members. It's not about how we as an older member gain anything out of this. He says, when you live as a mature Christian, as a serious disciple of Christ, it's actually more about what you give. Show yourself an example, which means in the way that we live, serious about our faith, we get to give the older generation a life to imitate. Because believe it or not, through the hardships and storms of life, sometimes we just kind of forget. Now we forget about being zealous and on fire. We forget about what it meant to be so fervent in our love for the Lord and for our love for the lost and our love for study. But then here comes this young Christian on fire for God, and all of a sudden someone is renewed. That zeal is restored. That flame is bursting anew. Our example can help renew that spirit in the older generation to remind them of why they are here and why they are needed. But it also can give the older generation a hope to hold on to. Because whether or not they will vocalize it, inside the mind and the heart of our older saints is this: I wonder, once I'm gone, are they going to keep it on? Are they going to keep on teaching the truth? Are they going to keep on standing for the truth? Are they going to teach their kids? Or when we're gone, is all this going to fall apart? And not through anything we say or sign or put on the paper, but just through the way we live today. We live right here and right now. We show the older generations we will. We'll keep standing with King Jesus. We'll keep teaching the truth. We're going to keep and hold fast to the ancient path and the ancient order. We're going to teach our kids, and we're going to teach the next generation, so that when you're gone and your time is gone and you've met the Lord and you're on to eternity, it's not all lost. You've done it well. You've handed that baton so strong. Be at peace. Because we're ready, and we're going to keep it on. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. In essence, do you know what Paul is saying here? He is simply just saying what Jesus said in that golden phrase in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, when he says to treat others the way you want to be treated. And so if you want the older generation, our older saints, if we want them to show us respect and kindness and favor, then we need to be a people who are living worthy of such respect and kindness and favor. If we expect the older generation to set a good example for us of people who are serious about God, solid in their Bible understanding, fervent in their love for God and His church, then we need to be a younger generation who are doing the same. Because here's the reality, whether you face this yet or not, one day that's going to be us all too soon. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hope that the generation that's coming behind us, those young kids, that when they come along, that they're not going to feel as if our time has set and we're not needed anymore. I'm going to hope that they don't ignore us and treat us like we don't exist, to be too busy, too interested in their own things, to not listen to us or to hear our stories. I'm going to hope that they would want to listen, to include us and welcome us, to honor the legacy we have set, and in fact, to be willing to learn and to partner with us in the work where we are. I would really hope that next generation, when we are the aged, would not be reckless and careless and leave us so fearful about what the future of the church would be. But I would hope to see a young generation who was fervent, who knew the Word of God, who was hungry for it, who was zealous to be here when the doors are opened, who were active in the service. In fact, they inspired us to do things that even then we weren't doing in the service of God. And I hope they made it really easy for us to go home to Jesus. I hope they made it a blessing, realizing that we have done the best we can, and they're going to keep on going forward. And if that's what I want, that must be what we give. Will you pray with me? Our wonderful, blessed Father, we're so thankful to you because you have made us one. You have brought us from so many backgrounds and different places, and you have united us here as this family of Christ, this family of believers. And we are here united in so many diverse ways, young and old, different seasons and walks of life. But we are here united because we believe in you and believe you. And we love you and we love your Son. And it is our fervent desire to serve you, to honor you, to further your work, to glorify your name. We ask through this weekend you help us to continue to be closer to each other, leaning on each other, trusting in each other, that you build these bridges between generations, that you help us to grow fervent in our love for one another, no matter what season we are, and that through this, through the strengthening of our bond with one another, you will be honored. This work will be more greatly succeeded, and your name will receive all the more glory and honor and praise it deserves. We thank you for making us a family. In your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you stand? Let's sing.